Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk to our man, Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Hey, I actually want to ask you about the ACC Media Days because that's going on. We know SEC Media Days, Mike, will happen next week. You know, I just keep thinking it's Miami and everybody else. The ACC, I do not believe, and I could be completely wrong about this, but I don't see them with multiple teams in the college football playoff. Do you?
Yeah, maybe. You know, I've been here all week in Charlotte at the ACC Media Days, and, you know, I actually came out today with a pretty strong buzz off of Georgia Tech, believe it or not. I've been talking with Justice Haynes and Brent Key, and, you know, I'm going to tell you, that those Jackets have got a lot of confidence, you know, and Coach Key's walking with a lot of swag. You know, I think he feels really good about what they have, and I know we've talked a lot about what they've lost, but, you know, the guys that they've got coming back, and you know, the longer – you know, I'm in this state, and the more I learn, the more I recognize, you know, what Brent Key has done there and just how special that program is and the commitment level and the culture that's happening. And so that's not a program that I'm ready to write off. Let's remember last year, and granted the schedule was what it was, but, you know, that was a team that contended very late. And if we go back to the Georgia game even, you know, they really uglied that up with some fantastic defense and hard-hitting play. And again, you had a guy like Justice Haynes to the mix. And look, I know they got a really deep backfield, but I believe this young man is really special. And talking with him today, I'm looking forward to writing about him and AJC.com. And then today we had an article on AJC.com where I spent some time alone with Jim Phillips talking about the league. And, you know, yeah, we look at the, you know, 10,000-foot view and the Big Ten and the SEC have more money and they control the playoffs. But, you know, Jim Phillips has done an amazing job. When you look at the television audience growth last year, you look at some of the initiatives. I know it's not going to be popular with everybody, but there's going to be 15 ACC games on Friday night. And there's going to be people watching that on TV that normally wouldn't watch an ACC football game. And, you know, now just finishing up with Dabo a few minutes ago and talking with him in the hallway. And, you know, we're going to have a story about Clemson football and where are they at? And, you know, talk with a talent evaluator who's here. And, you know, he's telling me he thinks Clemson's got enough to win 10 games, and, you know, that could be a playoff team. And I did talk with Mario Cristobal earlier in the week and Darian Mensah, and the Canes do have the most talent, and they are the favorite team, as they should be. I don't know if we're ready to say it's a complete throwback to the U, but that playoff run was impressive. And Mario Cristobal has assembled more talent than any team in the ACC. I dare say I think Miami, if they were in the SEC, could contend for an SEC championship.
So we were talking about Clemson earlier, Mike, just kind of doubling down with Mike Griffith from Dog Nation now up at ACC Media Days about who is going to step up. We're not as familiar with SMU because they're kind of like new to the conference, but they've been, you know, a top 25 team. Clemson, is it Vezina is the new quarterback, Christopher Vezina? Is it? I mean, we talked that Georgia, I thought, you know, you look at Georgia Tech, you got to have great assistants. They've changed some guys on their staff. I thought that Dabo really hurt their chances because he just never replaced the brain power, I thought, the last couple of years at Clemson. Is that changing?
Well, I mean, I think it's Dabo's program, but, you know, Chad Morse is a great play caller. And again, you know, it's easy. Like Dabo said today, you know, if you make another yard and you win the game, they love you. If you don't make the yard and you lose, they hate you. I mean, the guy's 151-7. When he leads going into the fourth quarter, but two of those losses were last year. You know, they had three losses by a combined, you know, 11 points. And I know those are talking points, but it's reality. I mean, you know, flip it to Georgia. How easy would it have been for Georgia to lose to Auburn if not for the forced fumble at the goal line? Or how easy would it have been to lose to Tennessee if not for the, you know, fourth down 28-yard touchdown, you know, that Gunnar Stockton threw to London Humphreys? Or how easy would it have been for Georgia if trailing died double digits, they don't, you know, pick up that 4th-and-3 against Ole Miss. And then all of a sudden you're looking at an 8-4 Georgia, right? And for Clemson, those breaks just didn't go that way last year. And it's an outlier for Dabo. I think they're one of only four programs in the nation that have had winning seasons 15 years in a row. So you know, who's the fool here? Is it Dabo for the outlier? Is it everyone else that's going to jump on 1 year and ignore 11 championships in 15 years and pretend like he forgot how to coach? Now, the question is talent acquisition and usage of the portal. And how much money does Clemson really have now, guys, to sit at the big boy table? You know, those things are real. And I don't care who the coach is. You know, you've got to have talent. I mean, we saw what Lou Holtz did in Notre Dame, and then we saw how different it was in South Carolina. And what was the difference? Lou Holtz had talent at Notre Dame, right? Even right. Steve Spurrier, what did he win, 7 titles in 12 years at Florida? He did get South Carolina to 1 SEC championship game. But so I think
I mean, 11 wins a couple of years. I mean, I'm just saying 11 wins at South Carolina is about as good as it's going to ever be.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so – I'm not ready to, you know, again, give up on Dabo. And that's why I said, you know, being here for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and covering this with Gabe Burns, you know, we're going to have a battery of stories over the next couple few days on AJC.com on these things. But it's been an eye-opener, and I've been very impressed with what I've seen at these ACC kickoff days. I've seen a lot of, you know, beyond the field, boring stuff like innovation when it comes to revenue generation, when it comes to scheduling. When it comes to some of the coaching hires, I'm encouraged. If you're an ACC football fan, I would be encouraged this year by what you're going to see on the field. I mean, look at the battery of quarterbacks you've got around the league. I talked to Jimbo Fisher about that. You know, compare ACC quarterbacks to other leagues. And, you know, there's a lot of really talented guys. So it's obviously not as deep or as physical as the SEC. I think it's as deep as the Big Ten, but not as physical. But is that a bad thing now that we're talking about there being two seasons and, you know, make it in the playoff and then who gets hot?
What do you make of James Franklin? I think he's a really good coach, but are we underestimating him at Virginia Tech?
Well, it depends on what your expectations are out of the gate, whether you're underestimating or not. I mean, do I think he's going to go in there and win a national championship in the next 2 or 3 years? No. Do I think he can bring Virginia Tech back to, you know, relative prominence? Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's a very unique place, and obviously Frank Beamer, you know, did some very special things there. But another school that when you look at the NIL bucket, you got to look closely and, you know, can they find some non-traditional ways to, you know, it's not what people want to hear, right? You want to hear, oh, he's good at, you know, finding talent, or you want to hear that, oh, he's good at developing talent. Well, guess what all these coaches are. And what's oftentimes the separator is the money. You know, Blacksburg's not a big media market. You know, there wouldn't seem to be a lot of natural tie-ins for major sponsorships. But when you get back to asking about James Franklin, you know, I go back to what he did at Vanderbilt. He made Vanderbilt a top 25 program. He recruited talent there. And I would say this is probably not as big of a lift as Vanderbilt was back in the day. It's certainly not as talent rich as Penn State has been. You know, but based on the fire that he's shown and, you know, the history that Virginia Tech has, I absolutely think that can be a 7-win team this year.
Talking with our man Mike Griffith, guys from Dog Nation up there at ACC Media Days. I was joking around with Carl. I said it's very Bobby Petrino-like, Mike. Get your take on this. To have Tom Herman coming to the Florida State program as literally a stab in the back is forthcoming. I mean, it just seems like Mike Norvell's dead man walking, as Carl said yesterday.
Well, you know, me being here covering this, this is my first rodeo at ACC Media Days. You know, there was a – you know, 2019, I created a Freshman Player of the Year award, and the first ever winner was Trevor Lawrence, and we named that out even before he beat Alabama. And I go back, you know, with Dabo Sweeney to 1994 when I knew him when I was covering Alabama and he was on the staff. So I've stayed in touch with a lot of people at Clemson over the years, and certainly, you know, my relationship with Georgia Tech, you know, over the last 10 years as a Georgia beat writer, and the respect that they've earned in my eyes, even as I poke and jab and have fun. Because that's what we do with rivalries. I personally respect and like Georgia Tech, and I was the first guy to come out and write a column saying they better hire Brent Key when they were messing around talking about hiring somebody else.
Right,
I mean, this guy is a natural. He fits. You know, take this comment for what it's worth. But the vision I have at Brent Key, when he's sitting there and his legs crossed and his designer suit, which if you can get a picture of, you really need to show it because Brent Key is styling. He looked like a young Philip Fulmer. And Philip Fulmer won championships, and Philip Fulmer built a culture, and I mean that in the most positive way. And Brent Key was a winner against Georgia when he was at Georgia Tech. He won the majority of his matchup. He coached under Nick Saban. He understands the formula. He sells the rivalry. Georgia Tech could not possibly could not possibly hire a better football coach for their program than Brent Key. And I'm not saying Brent Key's the best coach in the nation. I'm saying he is absolutely 100% the best coach to be there, and he will get everything out of that school that they will allow him to get. And I haven't talked to him about how much money they give him or how open they are to revenue-generating ideas. But sitting here on the sidelines and keeping an ear to the ground, if you ask me, the Georgia Tech challenge is not with the head coach and not with the player commitment, not with the talent available. It's with the higher powers and their ability to understand the revenue model and maximize it. They've done some very good things, but they need to do more, and they can do more to give Brent Key an opportunity to win championships.
I agree. Mike Griffith, you make a great point. I want to ask you about tomorrow because everybody will be wondering what Belichick will say. What are you expecting there? Because, look, I was thoroughly disappointed when he got the job. First AC, you know, ACC media days, he goes in, basically does one interview, one with ESPN, and he's out. I was like, what happened to promoting the conference and, like, bringing all this juice? And he didn't do it. And I was like, that's weak sauce. What am I going to get tomorrow?
Well, you know, until he changes my mind, he's an also-ran, and he had a losing record without Tom Brady. Until he changes my mind. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not a popular theory, but let's face it. You know, those two things are facts, okay? He did not represent the school as well as he could have or should have or was paid to last year.
Sideshow.
And without Tom Brady, he was not the championship coach that, you know, that everyone said he would be. You saw what happened when they split. You saw what happened to the Patriots, and you saw Brady win another Super Bowl. You know, maybe that's a low-hanging fruit take. But I think a lot of us in the media, myself included, sometimes we're guilty of grasping, you know, at that low-hanging fruit and writing the obvious. Oh, well, the Patriots, well, it must be the head coach. And obviously he did enough things to win, and I'm not saying he was a bad coach because he wasn't. But I think he got a lot of accolades, you know, that perhaps in people attributed a lot of qualities and brilliance, you know, that maybe, you know, were more circumstantial than truly earned, quite frankly. And look, this was his opportunity to come to North Carolina, a school that has tremendous backing, that has tremendous resources, and I don't want to say recreate himself, but, you know, show us the legend that he was supposed to be. And he has failed miserably. And I don't say that to generate headlines. I don't say that because I don't like Bill Belichick or, you know, hate him. I don't. But that's just what happened, guys. It was hugely disappointing last year. And the fact that he dropped the ball on one of the most important aspects of college football, which is relationships.
Yep.
You know, to this point, that's been a very disappointing hire. And I don't know that one media day's appearance, not that I expect him to do anything special tomorrow, I don't know that winning the press conference changes that for me. Right. And this is, it's up to him to determine his legacy. If he wanted to go away with a championship legacy, then he should have taken the paycheck and retired. But if you're going to stay in the ring,
right,
if you're going to be that boxer that goes back out there, you better be ready to fight because we're going to remember what you did in the last round, not the first round.
That's a great way to put it. And again, he was more famous for making tabloid headlines than anything on the football field. Great point, Mike.
Unfortunately, yeah. That's, you know, that's.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, that's part of the nature of our society, and I don't know if we're supposed to cheer him for that or boo him for that. I don't know. I mean, everybody live your own life. At least he's not, you know, married to somebody else or something. I think he's talking about headlines these days, you know?
Right.
Great stuff, Mike. We'll talk more about next week. It's going to be exciting, SEC Media Days, and we know you're all over it. I'm looking forward to getting your takes, but appreciate you jumping on, man. Enjoy the SEC Media Days.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.